Namaste everyone and greetings of the day. As you know, my name is Vijaya Ingule and I'm an advocate practicing in the High Court and City Civil Court. Now, we are meeting here to study the legal aspects that are governed under business. When you're in the corporate sector, when you're dealing with business, whether it is small scale, large scale, what all law is required to be dealt with. So today we are going to deal with Companies Act 2013. Now before we venture into Companies Act, let us understand the background of company as to how did it all started. Now we know that there are different types of business entities that work under for business. The basic that starts from is a sole proprietary. A sole proprietary is where an individual himself does a himself or herself does a business. In sole proprietary, the entire responsibility in terms of capital, loan, paying of loan lies solely on the individual. And in such circumstances, all the properties that are in the name of this individual also can be attached and mortgaged when it comes to taking loan. The other type of is partnership. Again, in partnership, two or more persons come together and go ahead and carry on a business. Now, even under a partnership, there is a lot of individual liability, wherein individual, where you have a benefit that you can individually take these profit, but the loss also is shared by individual where your own property can be attached. In partnership and proprietary, you get the entire profit, you get the and you bear the entire loss. Now, in proprietary and partnership, where it comes to proprietary and partnership, any third person without taking any liability or cannot enter into or invest in the business, right? So, proprietary and partnership are the forms of business which was used earlier. Now, as I have given you a brief background, you would have understood that there are bad drawbacks where the resources are limited because a third party cannot come ahead and, you know, invest in it. There are unlimited liability because even your individual assets get attached, and there is absence of continuity. Why? Because individually. So where, like, for example, I start a business and it's a sole proprietary. After me, it will depend whether my heirs, my family wants to carry out ahead the business or not. So the minute I die as a sole proprietor, if the business is not carried forward, the business closes. So there is a limited liability. Now in these circumstances, there is uncertainty in terms of even third party vendors when they want to give you a credit, you know, because what after this person? Then recovery is an issue and there are various kind of problems that come in. So these drawbacks were necessary to be addressed. Now that is the reason how the joint stock type of organization came into picture. Now in this, what happens? Two persons go ahead and start a joint stock or a company, as we know, and they can take investment. So two individuals come together, form a third entity altogether. And everyone can go ahead and buy their share in that particular business and enjoy the profits. Now, this is most prevalent. Why? Because the continuity is not in a problem unless there is winding up the company. Just because there is death of a director, it will not mean that the business will come to an end. The properties, if, for example, there is loss, whatever belongs to the company, only that particular asset gets affected. Individual investor, promoter, directors, assets will not get attached unless there are special circumstances which we are going to discuss in the future slide. Anyone can come and, you know, invest in this business, a huge capital can be raised, which gives profit. So if you must have seen, if for example, let me give you example of share market. I'm sure many of you are by now must be aware up to how share market goes. So when you invest 100 rupees, let us say the share that you have purchased is 1. On that 1, let's say today I have invested 100 rupees in the share and there is a 20 paisa increase. So on that 100 rupees, how much are you getting on 1 rupee? 20 paisa. So around 2 rupees or 20 rupees benefit that you get. Now let us say that you invest 10 lakh rupees on an every share, that is, there is an increase of 200 rupees. Now you multiply it vis-a-vis your 100 rupees and vis-a-vis your 10 lakh rupees, which will get more benefit and more profit. Obviously the 10 lakh, right? So the more the capital, the more you are able to better invest, better plan and create business. Now in India, the company attained much rapid, importance when there was industrialization. Okay, there were 5-year plans. Now the functioning of joint stock company earlier was under the 1956 Act, of course with all the amendment. But thereafter there were other changes which were required, like for example corporate responsibility, the CSR, which is popularly known, all these, and there were other liabilities which were required to be carved in. So that is the reason there was a need for a new Companies Act. Now what is a company? Let us understand the definition of company first. Now Lord Justice Lindley has defined company as an association of persons, many persons who contribute money or money's worth to common stock and employ it in some trade or business and who share the profit and loss arising therefrom. So three main components. It is association of persons who contribute money or money's worth to the stock of the company. For and that the intent, the objective is for what? The objective is for a trade or business and they share the profit or loss that arises therefrom. Henry defines the company as a company and as an incorporated association, which is artificial person created by law, having separate entity with perpetual succession and common seal. Now, this is the most popular definition of company. And the four, as you must have seen, I have shown four most important characteristics. It is an incorporated association which creates an artificial person by law. The person is created by law. It has an independent identity. A separate entity, it has a perpetual succession. So by death of the founding members, founding directors, the company does not cease. It goes on, right? And there is a common seal. A seal is given. A joint stock company is an incorporate association formed for the purpose of carrying off some business. Legally, what it is an artificial person. It is an artificial, why an artificial person? Because it is created by law. And how, which, under which law? Under the Companies Act. It has a distinctive name and a common seal. No two companies will have identical name. It's similar to your trademark. If I am using a company name, the same company name cannot be given to anyone else. Now, again, we will look at the definition. It may be defined as an artificial person created by law with a distinctive name, a separate identity, common seal, common capital contributed by members, and it comprises of transferable shares of a fixed denomination with limited liability and perpetual succession. Now, let us analyze the definition, okay? Now, the analysis of the definition that we just spoke of reveals distinctive features, which are registration. It requires registration. So, a distinct name can be given. It becomes a separate legal entity. It has a legal, the artificial existence come under the law. There is a common seal, there is perpetuity, that is, it can go on until it is wound up as contemplated under the law. The liability is limited. It is limited to your investment. It does not affect how, because it only limits to your investment. It doesn't come to your individual assets. you can transfer the share. So when you invest, you get certain shares, and these shares can be transferred. You can transfer from one person to the other. Now let us look at registration. The company is created only when it is registered under the Companies Act 2013. So you register the company with the Ministry of Corporate Affairs. It will come into existence only when this Ministry of Corporate Affairs will give you certificate of incorporation. Okay, so but the formation of a public, now there are two types of companies. One is private company and the other is a public limited, a public company. For a private company, you need 2 persons. But for a public company, you will need 7 persons, right? Now, these persons, how do they come together? They have to have a memorandum of association and wherein the object of the company is given, and then articles of association, where under that article of association, all the rules and regulations as to how the company is going to function will be mentioned. These two documents are the most important documents, please remember, for a company, because they define the structure of the company. Other than company law, all right, other than the Companies Act or any other act, like if for example it's a listed company, you will have SEBI, you have IBC, all this will obviously govern, but the main document that governs specifically that particular company is its memorandum of association and articles of association. So these are the documents that are required for incorporation of company. It is a legal entity. Now this legal entity is an artificial legal entity, because you can't see. When I say a legal entity, I am a person, I am a legal entity, you can see me. When I say artificial, there is no person as such, there is no entity as such, but it has been created under the law. It is given a separate distinct identity. Artificial legal entity, let us look at that now. A company is an artificial legal entity of its own. And how does it act? Now, it is because it is artificial, it has to act through someone, right? So it acts through its directors. And now most important is, not everyone who has a share in the company acts, right? So there is, if the shareholders will elect a board of directors, and it acts through this board of directors, and these shareholders are distinct, has a separate identity. Like for example, I can go ahead and have shares in different company. My identity and the company's identity are different. Like for example, in a proprietor company, I am the identity of that firm. For a company, I am not, as a shareholder, I am not the identity. Company has its own identity. All right. So a shareholder in that sense, that is the reason, can sue the company, or even the company can sue its shareholder. We will deal as to show the circumstances where a company can sue and a share, vis-a-vis a shareholder can sue the company. Now, because the company has its own legal identity, a company can acquire property, whether it is immovable property or movable property, and can enter into a contract, and it can be sued and it can sue not only its shareholder, but the vendors as well. A separate legal entity. Now, when we talk of a separate legal entity, it is distinct and independent from its members, right? It has established its own independent corporate existence, and the property of the company is only to be used for the benefit of the company. Okay, it is not to be used for the benefit of the members or the shareholders. Let's say, for example, I am a shareholder and I invest as a property, or I sell the property to the company. Just because I am a majority shareholder, let's say I have a 60% stake, or let's say I have a 90% stake in the company. Even though I have a 90% stake of the in the company, though I have a huge role to play in terms of, you know, giving my opinion, but even then, even so, I cannot own or I cannot use the property in my benefit. It will, every work will be only for that particular company, right? Now, because it's a separate legal entity, creditors, if there is a recovery to be done, the creditors will not come behind me, after me. They won't come after me, but will go sue the company. And whatever recovery has to be done, it will be done through the property of the company. Okay? They cannot sue individual members, save and except in certain circumstances, which we will discuss. But the general law is that individual directors cannot be sued. And the company, again, is not liable. And that is the reason, because it's separate from its directors vis-a-vis itself. If let's say I have certain loan and I'm director of a company with a major shareholding in the company, any recovery which is my responsibility cannot be taken from the company just because I have majority share in the company. Common seal. Now, the company is an artificial legal entity, we have understood. It cannot act on its own. It has to act through its directors or the authorized person. And because it has to act through its board of directors or members or the managing director, for example, or the company secretary, it needs a seal. If there is no seal, it can be a problem. The seal acts as a signature of the company. So let's say I am the member of the company and I am signing a certain document. Merely my signature will not be sufficient. The seal of the company will be mandatory. Perpetuity. What do we understand the word of perpetuity? Perpetuity means forever. It remains in existence. It is immortal. It does not die. Again, every rule has an exception. So here also there are certain exceptions which we will discuss in detail in the slides when we discuss winding up, etc. But until it is wound up, the company remains in perpetuity. Just because of a death of a company, death of a member, it will not, or the director, it will not mean that the company will also cease, unlike a sole proprietor, right? So as the company is created by law, it is in perpetuity and it never dies. There is no retirement, nothing. Okay, it is created by law and can be the end can be brought only by the process of law. Like for example, when I said that there is partnership, there are two partners. One partners die, the entity becomes a sole proprietor unless the partnership deed says that the legal heir can be brought in as a partner, right? Or a sole proprietor. If a sole proprietor dies, the business goes, has a natural death in the sense if the legal heirs do not carry ahead the business. But that is not the case with the company. So this, because there is perpetuity, it brings in stability in the company and all the stakeholders have a certain faith. Because of the stability, there is a trust that the business will not halt and get impacted. Limited liability. Now, the member's liability is limited and it is limited in two circumstances, by its share, the shareholding capacity, and by guarantee, the guarantee that I have given. Now, let us discuss limited liability by limited by shares, how the liability is limited by share. Now, the liability of the members become limited by the value of the share. And now here the value is the nominal value, the face value, right? So whatever share I have, it is only to that extent that the liability I will hold. So if I have 20%, my liability will be only 20%. I will not be 100% liable, okay? So, and now a share can be fully paid up. It can be partly paid up. So what happens in terms of partly paid up? In partly paid up, it will be liable to the extent of balance of the nominal value. Okay, but if he has full value, then it will be of the liability, the value of the shares held by the liability is nil. Now, in case of a company whose liability is limited by guarantee, the liability of the member is limited to such amount as a member may decide to contribute to the asset as the guarantee that he has given. Transferability. Now, under section 44, the most important criteria of the Companies Act is that there should be fluidity in transfer. There shouldn't be any kind of rigidity. Okay, this section provides that the shares or the interest of the member shall be movable property and thus transferable in nature. So because of this transferability, because of the fluidity, the member can sell the share in open market to anyone. Now again, but all this is with respect has to be in line with by adhering to the Articles of Association and the Companies Act, right? The transfer will be governed by the artificial Articles of Association. So let's for example say that I hold certain share and the Articles of Association says that the first share, whenever I want to transfer my share, I will first give the offer to the existing shareholders, and if not to the existing shareholders, if they do not agree, then to anyone outside the company, then I am bound by that. But that does not put a restriction that I cannot sell my share at all. Okay, when I say fluidity, it doesn't limit it me only to me. Okay, so I can sell the share, the transfer of the share can be to anyone who is agreeing to give the amount as agreed and the articles of the company. Now there are, as I said, there are certain restrictions, and these restrictions you have to look at the article. So whenever there is a transfer of share, always study the Articles of Association and of course the Companies Act. Now, as I said that earlier, it is a legal entity, so it's a corporate personality which is distinct from its company. The identity is different. It has a its own legal existence which is separate from director, officer, creator, founder, whatever name that you would want to call. And so because it is a corporate personality, it can sue and it can be sued. It can go ahead and have a right to purchase, sell, lease, mortgage the properties, and it is also implied that the property cannot be taken away by anyone without following the due process of law, right? And the only exception, as I said, you know, we will discuss the exception when it goes beyond and affects the director, is when it is, the restriction is corporate veil. So what is a veil? Veil is your curtain. A veil is a curtain. So on the face of it, let's say there is a curtain. That curtain is company. And who is behind the company? It is the director or the shareholder. So that is called a corporate veil. So a company assumes a legal personality which is distinct, and that is the reason it can be claimed as, but because it's a legal entity and it's an artificial, it cannot become a citizen per se. Okay, it can't claim citizenship, but it is incorporated as per the Indian Act. So all the benefits which are given to the company, Indian company, will come to the company, but it can't claim the citizenship. Registered company. A company brought into existence by registration with the registrar of the companies under the Companies Act is called a registered company, which can are of two types, a private as well as a public. A one-person company. Now, one-person company is where only one person is the director. Okay, but again, it has to be a registered company. Now, the first distinction is private company, public limited company, one person company. The other also is an ordinary business and a government company. Now let us look at this tree chart. If you look at this tree chart, you will see that when a company is to be incorporated, you have to first register it. Once you register the company, then it can be an ordinary business company and a government company, right? A government company is where the company has a stake, the government has a stake in the company. It can be a private company, a public company. A public company is when, it is listed either with the Bombay Stock Exchange or the National Stock Exchange, and a one-person company. A one-person company is a new concept which has been brought in the new Act of 2013. Under the 1956 Act, we did not have a one-person company. Now, on the basis of the liability of the members, companies can be classified into three types. Unlimited companies, where members are liable for the debts of the companies to an unlimited extent. companies limited by shares. So where the members are liable only up to the share of the company, and they are called upon to pay only the unpaid amount of the share. So when I am buying a share, I can either must have paid the fully pay, share. The if I pay the entire amount, it is fully paid up share. Let's say I have paid only the certain part of the share, so it is unpaid amount of the share. Okay, partly paid up share. Now government company, which is a government company, as I said, the major stock holding of the government in the company is a government company. So the minimum requirement, the threshold is 51%. The government should have 51% share in the company. It now this government could be the state government or the central government, and they become a public limited public company. So to give an example, Bharat Electronics, IRFC, Hindustan Aeronautics, these are the government company, now listed company. Under section 25, subsection 52 of the Companies Act, listed company means a company that has any of its securities listed or any on a recognized stock exchange. Okay, it has to be a recognized stock exchange. To my knowledge, there is BSE and NSE. Now, foreign company. A foreign company is where the company is incorporated in a foreign country, but it establishes a place of business in India. It is not incorporated under the Companies Act, but it has a place of business. For example, it had Omega. Now, when a foreign company registers its subsidiary in India, then India word is added to the company, right? When it only has a branch, which only comes, for example, Cathay Pacific Airlines, it doesn't have an Indian entity, but has a branch company here. Please, I may stand corrected, but to my knowledge, that is how it is. Now, all the foreign companies are not registered or incorporated of India, but there are certain provisions, because they are doing business in India, there are certain provisions which will govern, which will be governed under the Companies Act. Now, under Section 380 of the Companies Act, every foreign company must, within 30 days of the establishment of its business, file with the registrar certain documents. Now, what are these documents? The charter, the statute, memorandum, articles, and any instrument that defines the constitution, along with the full address of its principal office, holding and subsidiary company. So what we have seen, the private company, government company, foreign company. Now let us see what is a holding company and a subsidiary company. Now, when company A has taken control over company B, company A is a holding company because it is holding the major share and it is holding the entire working, and the company which has been controlled becomes the subsidiary company. For example, we have the Reliance, we have Reliance Limited, and Reliance Limited is the main company, the holding company, and under Reliance we have other entities like the Jio, retail market, etc., etc., which comes under the subsidiary company, right? A company is deemed to be subsidiary where the board of directors is controlled by another company and where the controlling company holds more than half of its nominal value of equity. So for example, it holds 51%, the minimum threshold is 51%. And then where a company is a subsidiary of another company, which is a subsidiary of a company, that is, for example, let us say C is subsidiary of B and B is subsidiary of A. So even C is a subsidiary company. A holding company by a resolution may authorize its representatives to inspect the accounts of its subsidiary company. So for example, let us say, let me give you an example. Let us say there is company A. The company A wants to invest so that it is not entirely responsible for the business, but also gets starting threshold, hold on the business. So what it does, startups. There is a startup company. Now, startup start amazingly and then they want investment. Company A comes and says, okay, startup, I will buy 51% of your share and I will hold 51%. Now, in this 51%, how do I go ahead and work? I will nominate a person from my company and keep it and have them placed in the startup company, in the board of directors, who will go ahead and take, active participation in the working of the company. So, but again, there has to, every work of the company will be by resolution. There has to be a resolution. If there is no resolution, please remember, it will backfire. Without a resolution, you cannot get any authority to work. So by resolution, I authorize my person to work in the company or look into the affairs. And when I look into the affairs, when the person looks into the affair, he can go ahead and inspect the book of account, right? Now, similarly, the members of holding committee will have a right to apply to the central government for appointment of inspectors to investigate the affairs of subsidiary. Now, let us look at the one-person company. One-person company is defined under Section 2, subsection 62 of the Companies Act. It means a company which has one person as a member. So, all the benefit, like for example, the way we saw sole proprietorship, it is similar, but here it is the director is only one person. It is practically I who will hold the entire share. But in order to meet a statutory requirement of a minimum members, some dummy members, mostly of the relations or obliging friends, hold one or two shares each. Now, this is done only to fulfill the statutory requirements. In the one person, it is only one person, that main member, who controls the entire company. Now, let us look at the definition of private company. A private company means a company having a minimum paid up share capital of 1 lakh rupees. Okay, how much should be the minimum share capital? 1 lakh rupees or any higher paid up. It should be but minimum of 1 lakh. And which by its articles restricts the right to transfer its shares, except in case of one person company, it limits to the number of its members, which are up to 200. It prohibits any invitation to the public to subscribe to any securities. Now, for as I said, in a listed company, if I'm a listed company, I can invite any member to subscribe to my shares. But in private companies, it is only the directors who form part of as a shareholder can invest. Now, let us look at public company. A public company, the minimum number of persons required to form a company is 7, but the maximum is no limit. The benefit that a public limited company gets is that it can invite general public to subscribe to the shares, and it cannot, or it necessarily does not impose any conditions which are necessary. You know, the way in a private company, there are conditions as to who can transfer the shares, to whom it can be sold. But in public, it cannot be sold. It cannot be done so. In an open market, I can buy and sell. To commence the business, it must have at least 3 directors, and it should also, of course, obtain certificate to commence, and it should be registered as a public company. A public company is also governed by the laws of SEBI. Please remember, because there is open transferability of shares. Now, the 2013 has given a new definition. A public company means a company which is not a private company, has minimum share capital of 5 lakh rupees. Under the private, we have 1 lakh rupee, but here it is 5 lakh rupees or a higher paid up capital as may be prescribed. Now, let us look at the difference between public and private. The formation. In case of public company, formation is difficult. Okay, it is not easy. Why? Because you are going to take money from the public, and it's the public policy comes into picture. A fraud of general public shouldn't happen, and that is the reason it's a little stringent when it comes to public limited. So the formation is difficult. Certificate of incorporation and certificate to business will have to be obtained from registrar. Then the consent of the directors A copy of their contract of purchase qualification shares must also be filed with the registrar. In case of a private company, however, the formation is not difficult. The company can commence business immediately after this incorporation certificate is received. Or maybe the business is ongoing and simultaneously the process of registration is also goes on. Say, let's say, for example, I started my business. Simultaneously, I have filed my incorporation certificate. Now, once the certificate comes, a board of directors meeting can be done, and all the actions taken prior to the certificate was received can be assented to and agreed in the board of directors meeting. Right? So, and again, there are lesser compliances in a private limited company as compared to a public limited company. The N words of the name. This is the most important as to how do you come to know. A public limited will only be limited, Reliance Limited, right? But a private limited company will end with private limited. That is how you come to know whether it is a private company or it is a public company. Membership. As I said, membership in public, it has to be 7 with no limit. And in private, it can be 2, but with a maximum of 200. Prospectus, very, very important. A public company must file a prospectus. And whatever declaration, whatever facts are shared in the prospectus, they are binding. If anything is found to be false, a criminal liability is invited by you. So please remember, whatever statements that you make in the prospectus, it is correct. No misleading statements can be made in a prospectus, right? So for a public limited company, this prospectus has to be filed with the registrar before you go ahead and allot the share. In a private company, there is no need to file a prospectus or statement. Now, allotment of shares. In case of a public limited, there are a number of legal restrictions, as I said. Why? Because you are giving the money, the shares, money will be invested by public in general, right? So that is the reason the allotment is stringent. The rules and regulations are stringent for a public company, but that is not so with a private company. A private company, you go ahead, you register, you have your articles of association in place, your memorandum of association in place, and those persons who have already come as a director, registered as director on the with the MCA, with the registrar of the companies, will remain. Memorandums and articles of association. Now, this is the most important document for any company. Right? You have to have your memorandums and articles of association in place. Now, in case of a public company, 7 members have to sign the memorandum and articles of association minimum. Why? Because that is the requirement, minimum requirement for starting a public company. However, in case of a private company, it is enough if 2 members sign, because that is the minimum threshold. Now, how do we prepare the articles? A public company need not prepare articles, and it can choose to adopt Table A of the Companies Act. What is a Table Act? A Table A? The Table A contains the model rules and regulations. But a private company cannot go ahead and do so and go ahead and adopt Table A, because it must impose certain conditions on itself. And how do they impose this condition? It is through these articles of associations. Okay, it is compulsory to be prepared and it is compulsory to be filed.